Welcome back to another episode of Hash Marks and Hardwood. Well, today we're going to have to change that name a little bit. Hash Marks, Hardwood, and Diamonds, maybe. But I'm Bryson Hill, joined by my co-host Nicholas. As always, Nicholas, how are you doing Friday? Good weather, honestly, besides the fog.
Yeah, I mean, the fog is... Yeah, it's hard to see for sure.
A little hard to drive this morning with can't see the stop sign 30 feet in front of you. But the reason I say we have to kind of change the name a little bit is we're joined by head coach of the Giants baseball team, Coach Davis. Thank you for joining. You're our second coach on Hash Marks and Hardwood. How are you doing? And thanks for joining.
Hey, thanks for having you guys. Excited to be here. Feel honored to be number two.
Yeah.
Could have been number one, but it's all good.
Of course. We are very excited to have you today. I was picking around and was like, I need a guest for Hash Marks on Hardwood this week. Or this was like 2 weeks ago. I was like, all right, let's go through the schedule. I don't have anyone this week. And I remember that I emailed you back a couple weeks ago about the possibility. But then we had all the weather issues with the snow and everything. Yep. So it just kept getting delayed and delayed. Yep. And then finally I was like, hey, all right. Let's bring him in this week. So glad to have you finally in. Yeah. No weather permitting this time.
Yeah,
there's been some sicknesses going around too. But Coach Davis, it's in the short way to say it, it's been quite the rough couple of seasons for baseball here at Ben Davis High School. This is your second year as head coach. For those listeners, I'll kind of say a little bit, you're an alum to this program. You play baseball here. Just a little bit about yourself for the people.
Yeah, I played here, graduated 2017, and then was blessed enough to get an opportunity to go play collegiately at Vincennes and Central Methodist and had good seasons there. And when I was done playing, Dave Bear reached out to me to come on and be an assistant. I came back, and I've been here ever since. And then last year, took over and, you know, ready to get things going.
How is that? What's the biggest challenge from going from an assistant to the head?
Ooh, all the decisions are on you as an assistant. Things go bad, they'll go good. You know, you kind of you're in the background, no one looks at you. But now, when you make a decision, good or bad, everyone, you know, it falls on your shoulders. You got to make all the decisions. You have to be the one to make the moves. So, if it's a good move, it's a bad move. Out of your hands, but you get all the praise and all the blame.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, we mentioned you being an alum to this program, you being a former player, obviously. What do you take in from being a coach, especially a head coach now, but what do you take in from your former days as a player, and how do you utilize, as you know, once being a player and the people's shoes that you are coaching now, how do you utilize that to your coaching style, if you do at all?
Yeah, I think you want to stay to who you are. As a player, I do the same things as I would do as a coach, as a player, all vice versa. So if I try to bring the same intensity as I was a player, as I was a coach, only difference is I'm just not walking out there actually doing it. So you try to instill the kids with the same things that you found success with and try to steer them away from things that you didn't have success with. And then by some point in time, you got to let them fly a little bit, but try to give them the ins and outs that worked for you. And hope they can replicate that.
Coach Davis, we mentioned how it's been a bit of a rough couple of years for Giants baseball. Last time you guys won a MIC championship, 2003. Last time you guys are over 500, 2016, I believe, 2016-17 season.
Mm-hmm.
For you personally, I guess it's a bit of a two-parter here, I'll ask you.
Mm-hmm.
What is it going to take to change the fortune around this season for Giants baseball? And then also, what is the kind of game plan? What's the preparation? Obviously, we know the season starts very soon this month, I believe. You guys have a game against Tri-West, I believe. Is that correct? So the season starts in 3 or so weeks. What's been the preparation, and how can you turn this fortune around?
The first thing, you know, sometimes records not what we want, but sometimes records don't tell the whole story. We have had some really good teams in the recent years. It's just we play and being in the mix is a tough schedule, a tough league. Playing the schedule we play, most teams wouldn't want to do that. So right there is a hard thing, but I think we're going in the right direction with the players and continuously trying to play the kind of baseball we want to play. Now, the record was, we were like 5-17 last year, but if you really go to the games, look at the box scores, we lead 10 of those games going into the final couple frames, and then things bounce one way, bounce the other, and it doesn't go our way, and we lose. But you got to look at how we were playing as a team. Last year, we started 80%, 75% underclassmen, and now with all of them coming back, I expect records to kind of start flipping, going our way a little bit more.
Just trying to build that chemistry. Chemistry is very important. How do you think that'll play in? I know you just kind of touched it, but how do you think, starting a lot of underclassmen? We've seen, obviously a lot of these sports teams this year, Coach Davis, are very young. You mentioned it last year, you start a lot of underclassmen. The girls basketball team this year had a lot of freshmen, three freshmen in the starting lineup. Even this current Giants basketball team has a lot of underclassmen too. And even we go back to the football team, yep. Gabe Kinnett, a freshman starting at quarterback, yep. A lot of youth. What are you looking for the underclassmen from last year? What are you really looking at how they can improve into next year? How can they, what are you looking to see the most?
We expect those guys, now it's their time to step up. They start feeling the pressure. Now they have to be the guys. They're going to throw the big innings. They're going to take the important at-bats. They're going to do all these different things that they didn't have to do in the past. And maybe they had to do it and they just weren't ready. But now they should be accustomed to it, and now they're ready to go. We couldn't finish ball games last year. We talked about it all the time. We would start well, couldn't finish. And that's maybe some growing pains with being young, or maybe that's growing pains of just being inexperienced. But now the experience is there. They know what to expect. They know what the county tournament looks like. They know what playing in the mid-conference looks like. They know what our sectional looks like. We've been there. We experienced it. So now all those firsts and butterflies are out the way. This year we come in, and we're fine with the older guys. Other teams, now they have to figure out what their young guys are going to do. And so now while they're trying to figure it out, we are expecting our guys to start to flip the script a little bit.
Yeah, and I'll ask one more question, Nicholas, you can get into your questions you have. But obviously, it's kind of been, we were talking about it a little bit, you guys kind of seem to have a lot of great talent, but maybe some stage of that is lacking at one time. And that even goes before you were head coach here, obviously, or even a coach here in general. And maybe you saw it as a player a little bit, but it just feels like maybe sometimes when you guys are amazing at pitching, your offense isn't too great. Or when your defense is, good or whatever the case may be, your offense is not great. Mm-hmm. So how can you kind of try to make sure that every part of the game is staying strong this year? And obviously, the best you can. You're not obviously out there playing yourself. But as a coach, what's the best message you can get to try to make sure all areas of the game of baseball are being executed well?
That starts with believing in yourself. We've been putting in the work. This is probably one of the toughest off seasons that we've had as a unit when it comes to like how much we're doing. We were going since we were allowed to in September. Every week, it seems like 3-4 times a week, or challenging guys to put in the work on their own. Stuff like that is keeping them clear on what success is and what are we trying to accomplish. Maybe sometimes you don't see the success right away, but do we put ourselves in a position to succeed? So once we start putting ourselves in better positions to succeed more often, you'll start seeing success go that way. And when things don't go our way early, you got to keep the guys, we can't be too up or too down. We got to keep it that right in the middle. And I believe that last year we had moments where we did not keep it cool, or we kind of didn't believe in ourselves all the way. But I think this year, once we said, like we keep saying, like the growing pains, those are out the way. Guys are going to be able to put it together a lot bit more. So when the pitching's there, the hitting's got to show up and vice versa. And I believe that with all the work we've done this offseason, I think that's when you're going to start seeing the full picture. And I think we'll surprise a lot of teams this year on how we come out ready to go.
Glad to hear.
What are your main goals of the season? I mean,
I think we have some main ones. We want to, our big three are, we want a conference, You want to win our sectional. You want to also want to win the Marion County tournament. So we start off with those three main goals. Those are your big picture ones. And then we kind of get a little bit more specific ones. Some people have individual ones. We sit down with guys, talk about what do you want to accomplish. Then we go with team goals as well. So I think we have those three big ones, but then we'll start off by when we play our scrimmage with Tri-West, looking good, being prepared. Then we play our first game against Southport. We'll take it one game at a time, honestly. That's our goals. Our goals is to finish games and be prepared to either flush it and succeed, with happy with how things went, or we just, you know, live with the result and be happy with ourselves.
I'll jump in here real quick. You talk about the individual goals. Mm-hmm. For those of the players that you've sat down with for individual goals, what are you doing in your power to help these people achieve those personal goals, whether it's having a certain batting average or they want to get this many home runs or they want to get this many blah, 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 blank. Mm-hmm. What are you, the couple of goals that you've heard, what are you trying to do? And also relating that to your coaching staff as well, because it doesn't just fall on you. Yeah. What are you relating to your coaching staff and yourself that trying to get these individual goals to be brought forward?
Yeah, so we present all of our guys with their stats and a future stat line that we think they can get to. And then we come up with a plan on how we can get to that. So let's say we had a guy that had too many strikeouts. We may talk about a better two-strike approach. We may try to switch up their batting stance. We may try help them try to stay on time, swing, and do different things like that to help them achieve what they want to achieve. Obviously, everybody wants to hit 300, have a low ERA, wants to do all these different things, but coming with a plan to do that is with more. There's more the challenge we have with that. So how we accomplish that is just by, you know, taking lots of videos, showing them, hey, this is what you're doing. This is what you're not doing. And then once we keep showing them that, we go into certain drills. Each guy has a different drill set they may have. Some guys, they have an open stance, maybe we got to close them. Or maybe if they are swinging under the ball, we got to do different drills to help them stay on plane. Different stuff like that, I think, is what we're trying to accomplish as a staff and as a team.
What are some players you're most looking forward to that you think we should watch out for this season? Or
man, we got a couple. I think Tyler Morris, who's one of our better pitchers last year, he kind of caught us off guard with how well he pitched, and I believe is an all-conference guy. I believe that he could turn around and have another great year on the mound. He's a guy that throws a funky arm style, kind of comes from three quarters, almost to the submarine, and it throws a lot of people off. So I think if he can continue to lead us on the mound, then I think we'll have a really good year pitching-wise. Hitting, I believe Zabdiel and Dino, he's a freshman last year, and from his time, he was close to that 300 range hitting. I think he's a little bit bigger, stronger this year. I think he'll be a really good hitter for us. We got a couple other guys like Derek Douglas, Avery Mitchell, and defensively, I mean, Jace and Ajani will arguably be one of the best outfield duos in our conference. So if they can come along with helping us hitting, I think we'll be a good surprise this year.
I'll kind of piggyback off of what Nicholas just said. He asked that question, who should we look out for?
Yeah.
What has stood out the most about this group so far, Coach Davis? Why should we look out for this team?
Yeah, I just think this team has really bought in. From the time in the fall to the winter, we've had a good collective group that has bought in and is taking this very seriously. Past couple of years, you may have two or three guys who really buy in and really want it. This year, it seems like everybody's on the same page. Everybody has the same goals, and they're trying their best to achieve those things. It feels like we have 12 leaders on this team, honestly. And not many coaches or teams can say that. But when you have that many guys who are holding people accountable and wanting to want, that gets you excited as a coach. So you can only hope things come to that. But from what I'm seeing, that togetherness is what's going to push these guys over the top a little bit. We got a lot of guys are constantly texting me or texting each other, asking for what they can do. Where can they go to even get extra swings in? I mean, they're picking up times at going to D-bats and just getting more and more swings in. So the commit being, them being committed is going to be what I think.
Yeah, the responsibility and the leadership. Yeah, 100%. With that being said, don't go anywhere, folks. We're going to take a quick 1 minute break here on Hash Marks and Hardwood. When we return, we'll have the rest of this episode with Coach Isaiah Davis up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a 1 minute break.
Get your fill of Ben Davis sports right here. WBDG Indianapolis. Giant 90.9.
High school sports have a unique way of setting the tone for our entire school community. How? By demanding our very best, no matter who we are.
Every student, coach, parent, and fan has a responsibility to practice good sportsmanship at athletic events. It's on each of us to lead by example with our behavior.
The way we behave is not only a reflection of our own character, but of our schools as well. It lets everyone know, this is how we do things at our school. This is what we expect. This is who we are.
So, whether you're playing, coaching, or cheering, always demonstrate integrity with your words, actions, and attitudes at our athletic events. Our school's image is up to us.
I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Neidig. Help set the tone by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events. This is leading by example. This is leaving a positive impression. This is your IHSAA.
Good morning and welcome back to Hash Marks and Hardwood. After that quick 1 minute break, hopefully you sticked right around with us. Goodness, can't speak. But in case you are just tuning in, Bryce Hill, we're alongside head coach of the Giants baseball team, Coach Isaiah Davis. Co-host Nicholas Mountcastle with me as always. Coach Davis, we left off on who to look out for and about what this team is exciting. You have this game against the Tri-West Bruins in a couple of weeks. What have you really liked in the last couple of weeks of practice? That, and what are going to be some of your keys to victory here in about 2.5-3 weeks against Tri-West?
Now, this team is going to be very – we're a very fast team. We stole about 65 bases last year. That, I think, is going to double. When this team gets on base, that's when we become a problem. We have speed 1 through 9. Now, where we got in trouble was not being able to put the ball in play that much, too many strikeouts. So with the guys getting all those early at-bats out the way, they'll put more balls in play, more contact, and then not the least of them getting on base. When they get on base, it's going to be, you know, good luck trying to throw us out consistently. So if we can do that and create a little havoc on the bases, make teams nervous to pitch to us and to keep us off, that's where we'll be at our most dangerous.
When do you feel like is, you know, you kind of threw me a lob here, because what do you think – or rather, I should say when. When do you think is the right time or the appropriate time to steal the bait, to steal a base in a game? I know it's very vague, but it any like depends on the inning situation of the game, obviously. Just when do you feel like it's right to jump at that? Because that's obviously high risk, of high reward, obviously, too. Yeah. So, you know.
Some of our guys have that green light all the time just because they run so well. So we got about 4 guys that are smart enough to know a good time and a bad time to do it. That's just things you work on and talk to them throughout the season and in practice of, like, understanding the situation.
Yeah.
Not many times do we give them, like, a steal sign, like, hey, let's go right here. A lot of times those guys understand when the appropriate time to go or not to go is. So we give them a green light sign or a red light sign saying not going to do it. Almost always we have the green light because we have, when I tell you 7-8 guys who run under, I don't know, under like a sub 6 for 40, 60. I'm sorry about that. They can really run. So, but as much as fast as they are, they're very smart. So it makes it easy as a coach to give them the green light, because you know that they'll make a good decision.
And, you know, you mentioned the situation of games. I feel like a lot of that, too, giving green light, impossibility where you feel like you have an out or something, double plays coming up, et cetera. Like you just stated, whatever the situation could be. In your opinion, again, another opinion base that you've been seeing your team work all offseason. Who are some of the couple of players you feel have improved the most? Or maybe more so, if you'd rather answer, what do you think about the team in general is going to be improved from last season to this season, if you'd rather answer that?
individual, let's start off with, we got two guys. Ezra Gaddis has made tremendous strides. He's a guy that we didn't really get to get him on varsity last year, kind of on JV last year, but could play a lot of serious time for us this year. And being the catcher, kind of come behind a guy who caught all 4 years for us with Austin Calvin, that is going to be – he's going to be a big key for us to do what we want to do. And he's been making tremendous strides. So individual-wise, I'll say him. And as a team, defensively, I think that's where we're going to be really strong at. We had moments of showing we were great defensively, but I think this year, as we get out there and start seeing guys, we really have a good, strong defensive team. So when the bats come around, it's going to be really hard to score on us and put big numbers up.
Is there anyone that you looking at maybe just professional teams, and you obviously watch MLB, or in general, it doesn't have to be the same sport. Is there any coaches or maybe people that doesn't have to be a coach, but a person you've looked up to, is there anyone you try to mimic your coach style after at all?
Coach style?
Or do you feel like it just comes to you naturally? That's just how you coach.
You know, my father was a coach for me for a long time, and that's one of the best coaches I've ever seen. So I really try to make my style after him. A lot of people who know him will say that he was able to get them to be the best they could be. He was really great at bringing out the best of players, and he was a player's coach. That's like one of the most important things about him. You see alumni come back to this day, and they see him, and then you know, the joy comes back to him because they see how much life he brought to them. So being able to have that as a father and as a coach for most of your life, it's kind of like a cheat code, right? You get an early start in coaching because he was able to show you the right way to do it. So with trying to mimic somebody, that's what I want to be like when I continue in my coaching career. Yeah.
It's awesome. I had one season, I think. I played soccer under my dad. So it's definitely interesting having a relationship like that. Let's move on to the pitching of the game. When we talk about baseball.
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Easter. I did not realize my mic was off. I turned it off to drink water. So
there That's we go. Good.
But it's back on now. I basically said what I just said again then. How important, we talk about pitching on a high school team. Obviously, we see how important it is in Major League Baseball. How important is pitching depth for a high school team? Down the last couple of innings, having a good closer, having a good this or that, and keeping the bullpen ready, and how, like, just having two or three or four different guys that you know you can really trust the pitching position, how important is that, and how important is just overall the position of pitching?
Having a good pitching staff is, I mean, probably the most important thing for baseball. This year, we're going to have a really good staff. We'll figure out starting and closers and roles later. But what we know is we have about eight guys that we're going to roll with prior for this season. And those are the guys you have to – they set the tone for you. If you come out there early and they throw the ball bad or poorly, and then we have that long inning where they walk a bunch of guys, that can set the tone where guys now are already checked out of the game. They are like, oh, it's going to be one of those kind of games. And, you know, the morale's down. But you have a guy that you know is going to come up there, pump strikes, and have some energy. That gets everybody excited. They're expecting action. They're ready to go the whole time. That's really important. We have some stretches in our schedule where we play four games a week, five games a week. If you do well in counter, you'll play four in 3 days. And if you don't have more than two guys pitching, you're going to get to accomplish a lot of those things. So as important as starters are, you need those guys who can come in and save the middle innings and then close the door later on. So role-wise, we'll still try to figure out who's going to be what role, but I think we have some guys who better do it.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned obviously I a lot of that I think is trust as well. I've talked about it before with other coaches, but especially you being a player, former player yourself, just talking about the players trying to take care of themselves, making sure they're doing the appropriate rest to make sure that they're not, you know, just coming in and loosely throwing or whatever the case may be. When we look, obviously, we've mentioned it, and it's been quite, and we mentioned how the success in recent years hasn't been there. But when we look at your team, who
going into these big games against these other schools who might have a way better record than you. If you go in to face a Pike, you go in to face a Tri-West, a Plainfield, and I'm just rattling off schools here. But when you go in to face those teams who might have, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, et cetera, et cetera, more wins than you, what is kind of just the message before in the pregame to your team that, hey, you know, we might be a 4-win team or whatever, and this team might be a 10-win team, but just because that doesn't matter, like, What is the message before those games where you are viewed as the underdog?
Yeah, we first off by saying we fear nobody. We want to play the best and we want to compete and beat the best. So no matter what paper is, no matter they have big time commitments, recruits, whatever it is, as soon as they step on the field, we tell our guys all the time, they have to come see us, right? It's not out there. We're not afraid to go see and play anybody, but eventually we get to a point where people are going to be like, okay, we got to play Ben Davis. Like, they got to be prepared for us. So that is always the message. We don't fear anybody. We're not scared to play anybody. And if you are somebody that is scared of the competition or scared to go after people like that, then we're not the team for you, right? We expect our guys to compete with everybody. We expect to go out there and win these games. So underdogs on paper, we really don't look too much into it, because after all that, when that first pitch goes, it doesn't matter, you know. It's 9-on-9, and then we'll see who's the best team that day.
What, I'm kind of leading myself in question after question here. When we talk about maybe the players trying to get down on themselves after a bad series or whatever the case may be, maybe they go 0-for-4 when they're trying to hit, or they're just not getting it. The pitch keeps messing them up. What would be your message to them to try to not dwell on the fact that they can't hit the ball, but also just try to bring their spirit up? What would kind of be your message in that situation where a player is kind of getting down on themselves because they're not hitting anything?
Yeah, you just got to tell them to remember to, you know, stick with the process. Stick with what you've been doing all fall and winter. Just because you had a couple bad at-bats, isn't it time to abandon everything and try to go back to square zero? Baseball is a game that's built on failure. So if you're trying to be a perfectionist in a game that's built for you to fail, then that's just a recipe for disaster there. So when they have a bad start, you got to remind them, like, you know, big at-bats are still coming. Just because you're 0-for-3 now, when you come up that fourth time, you may do something that may win the game for us. So staying positive, staying with it, trust the process. If you're not hitting it, then I need you to be great defensively. If you're not, you know, let's say you're 0-for-3, 3 strikeouts, I need you to be the best shortstop, best center fielder, best catcher you can be, and hopefully somebody else behind you can pick you up.
I'll let you take this one away. What do you just enjoy most about this, Coach Davis? Is it the culture? Is it what do you enjoy most about coaching high school baseball?
Man, yeah, I love the game. I've been doing baseball since, I remember, first the early days. Love the game. Love Ben Davis. There's no other place I'd rather be. I'd rather be than coaching with my kids here at Ben Davis. Being here on the west side, it just feels like it's just home, right? Mm-hmm. I was here when we saw success and won our sectional title in 2014. I was here when we had seen a lot of good guys come through here. I heard about the golden days back in, like, the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to.
Yeah. 81 or something like
81.
That.
81. So we're trying to get these guys to love it and see that they can do things like that. So that's where I want to be. We, man, baseball is that it's often opened a lot of doors for me with college and got to travel all over the country doing that. So I want kids to experience that, and I love seeing them go from maybe not having success and then start having that success and seeing the growth in it, and that's what makes me love that. And then sending kids on to go play somewhere else is, you know, there's not many better feelings than that.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about a lot your, you know, your messages and your stuff inside of the game. Mm-hmm. But what I want to ask here is, what lessons do you hope that the players take from baseball, mm-hmm. or from whatever you tell them, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be,
what do you hope the players take from your coaching into the real, into the rest of their, you know, life? What do you want that philosophy? What do you want that influence to be?
Just the same habits that you have, you create, are the same ones you're going to carry on later, right? We try to teach them how to deal with adversity and how to overcome it. You never know what life's going to throw at you. So if you're able to do that in the sports world, I need you to be able to do that in the real world. You know, you're only going to play baseball for so long, but, you know, there's so much life after baseball that I need them to be prepared for it and want to see them do well in. We've had a lot of guys have a lot of success outside of baseball, right? You have somebody who's on a NASCAR team. We have guys who are news anchors down in Dallas. So there's a lot of guys who are having success and being just good human beings. That's what we want to continue to produce and put out into the world.
You know, and high school sports are really, at every level of sport really is so much different. I mean, we look at high school, you go to college, obviously you have your elementary, you know, your when you're a kid and stuff as well. You obviously get to the professionals. What do you think makes high school sports, what do you think make high school baseball, but high school sports in general, just different and special compared to maybe some other leagues? And obviously, you've played in both. So what do you, how is this special compared to other levels of the game?
You know, we were just talking as a team. This is the last time that you get to represent where you're from, like, across the chest. Now, if you're lucky and you go play college and you're from that hometown, like, I still get that. But when you hear Ben Davis or Avon or Center Grove, you automatically know that kid's from the West Side. You know he's from wherever that school is at. You understand exactly what he's representing. So that's what makes high school so amazing. That's why when you see Ben Davis and Warren Central, you know it's the West Side versus the East Side. You have all these things that come into play with representing where you're from, the people, your communities. That's what makes it so special. Like, you can go to college and play in Missouri and you're from Indianapolis and it's like, oh yeah, I'm playing for a school. Mm-hmm. But when you're playing in high school, you're playing, you're representing your community. Your right here is what you are wearing across your chest, and that's what makes it so much special.
Final question, and we'll get into a little bit of your Hashmarks and Hardwood, I don't want to call it trivia, but a little rapid-fire type of questions for you. But before that, you're looking to obviously change this record around, make these players better. You talk about not being able to finish in the last couple of in games last season. What's it going to take for Ben Davis to win this season, start to finish in games, and also start of the season to the end of the season? What's it going to take for the Giants to win?
It's going to take for us to remain who we are. And when we start to try to do different things and try to come out, kind of like out of body and try to be other people, that's where we start to get in danger. When you hear the dugouts and it's live and it's rowdy and the guys are going, and that's when we're at our best. When our guys are bought in and they have the intensity and energy from start to finish, that's when we start playing with people. And we start getting to situations where, like, all right, we're putting pressure on them and we can finish this game. There's times where we may have, like, these long sets of, this is game number 3 and day 4, and you're tired, it's hot, it's the end of school, you're ready to just be for summer break. Can we still lock in for 7 innings that day and be the better team? That's what it'll take. So if we can bring intensity start to finish, game to game, I believe you'll see our records be pretty good this year.
All right, got a couple questions for you. All right, first one, what's your favorite memory as a coach or a player?
As a player, let's think here. You know, it's going to sound silly, but all the long bus rides as a player, you've driven all over the country and you see and hear just funny things. You get to come and meet people from around the world. And I have stories for days that just on the bus driving from, I don't know, we drove to San Antonio one day, 16 hours. And, you know, you come up with ways to entertain yourself and you'll be shocked on how crazy people will get when they can
try to, right?
And coaching wise, I mean, same thing. It's all the stuff that's outside of the game that when we just, you know, we have a couple hours to kill, and we're all just in the dugout and hearing the stories the guys tell. And, you know, they try to play you in certain video games or what it is. Those are the moments that really, really count. Like recently, I had a player, I'll say his name, Quinn Gildon, decided to challenge me in college football and found out there's levels to it, right?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, when you get a chance, ask Quinn Gildon what the score was and who had to turn the system off.
I'm going
to
assume the score is in favor of Coach Davis.
Of course. There's no video game that they can beat me in. There's levels to it, you know?
What is the one drill that your players probably get tired of or hate, but you swear by, that makes them better, makes you think it's good, that you might have also hated as a player, but what do you think that one drill is that your players hate that you kind of swear by as a coach?
Anything running based, you know, all kids hate running, but guess what? You can't get faster if you don't run hard, so there's that.
Yeah, I can't improve that that stamina either or anything like that.
That's right. Starts with the legs, builds the core. So if you don't like running, get used to it.
If you weren't coaching baseball, yeah, what sport would you coach?
Let's see. Probably basketball.
Basketball?
I don't know. Or something outrageous. I was into like the really obscure sports, like, let's stick with the Olympics here, like curling, stuff like that. I don't know. I'm always into stuff like that. So, you know, I'll probably venture out and try something crazy like that. Maybe some pickleball. I'm an elite pickleball player as well.
Oh, yeah? You're a mere man of all talents, it sounds like. Great college football, video game player, great
That's right.
pickleball player.
That's right.
Head coach of a baseball team. I mean,
it's a lot to do here.
Yeah, we got it all going here. For Coach Davis, what would be your favorite, I guess, if you didn't play baseball as a kid, if you had to play one sport through the school system, what would you decided to play?
So I was with basketball for a while, and then I eventually made the decision to stick with baseball. So basketball is the other sport that I was really good there. And then halfway through high school, I was like, all right, I knew baseball was the one I really loved the most. So basketball is the other sport.
This might take you a while to think of here, but the greatest baseball game you've ever seen is what, you think? Professional, high school?
That I've been a part of or just watched?
Either or, honestly. The best game you've experienced, I'll put it that way. Whether it was a really solid game and you came away with the win personally, or maybe he was watching your favorite team. I don't. Are you a big fan of the professional, MLB? Who's your team?
The Cubs.
Absolutely.
That's the one answer. That's the right answer.
Absolutely.
So then, greatest game ever is Game 7 of the 2016 World Series. That is
absolutely.
With the rain delay and not knowing what's going to happen, and then you see Roger Davis hit a home run, and you've waited your whole life to maybe see your team do it, and then they were able to pull it out. I think that was probably the best game I've ever experienced.
Yeah, I don't think Mr. Easter is going to like you saying that. So we're supporting the Cubs here in the WBDG studio.
That's right.
But, obviously one of the greatest games of all time. I wish I was a sports fan so bad at that time, because, you know, can you imagine? I'm probably, at the time of the World Series, 7-8 years old.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, remind you of the Pacers just made this run.
Yep.
And so I work at an aftercare company, and so essentially, it's like, how confusing must it be? You're a kid, not really knowledgeable of what's going on. You're seeing all these Cubs fans around, Cubs jerseys, Cubs signs, flags, you know, everywhere. You know, your parents driving down the neighborhood, and you got Cubs flags sticking out of the garages and stuff. Yep. So I can just imagine. But man, I really hope, because I've seen the TikTok highlights, and I think I always said if my team were to win a championship, I would want it to be a classic game like Game 7 was. I mean, obviously, you want the blowout. If your team wins, your team wins. But when you, I just no better feeling than that, I imagine. You're just going up and down, home run for a home run, run for a run, you know, strikeout for strikeout. I can just imagine the feeling sitting there watching that live. And what some people call the greatest, not even just baseball game, but greatest game of all time. Really.
Oh, yeah. That whole series. I think because you had two teams who had two super long World Series droughts. Like, the Cubs were at 100-plus years. The Indians were at 80 plus years. So then when they finally both make it and you've had all these fans who have been fans for years and they've never seen the Cubs do it, and all they've ever wanted forever is just to see them do it, to finally see it happen, and then like you hear all the jokes of like, you know, the Cubs fans saying this is the year, and everybody laughs and says, yeah, they say that every year. For them to do it was pretty cool to watch.
Last question for you, because we have unfortunately run out of time, but last question: who is your favorite professional player of all time?
In baseball or just in sports in general?
Both.
Baseball, long Cubs guy, Alfonso Soriano. As a kid, watching him was my favorite. And then great favorite athlete of all time is Carmelo Anthony.
Really?
Greatest player to touch a basketball. You heard me here.
Big Melo fan. That's really That's not. Right. You don't hear that a lot. I mean, you know, it's not like out of, you're not like saying anyone crazy. It's not like you're like, I don't know. It's not like you're saying Aaron Nesmith is your favorite player of all time.
No, yeah, Carmelo's my guy.
Chris Bosh or whatever. But yeah, Melo, one of the greatest scorers of all time. Love to see it. Big basketball fan.
My guy,
myself. So we had we have speaking of tonight, before we go off air, should mention Ben Davis versus Ben Davis versus Brownsburg in the sectional matchup. Can the Giants get revenge? We'll find out. WBDG has the call at 7:30. Join myself and Tyler Stout. We'll have the call from Plainfield High School. Prior to that game as well, the Quakers take on the Red Devils in what should be a great game. Going to be a lot of media outlets there tonight, I can assume. Alongside Nicholas, I've been your host, Bryson Hill, on this special episode of Hash Marks and Hardwood and Diamonds. We've had Coach Isaiah Davis. Coach Davis, thank you for joining us. And any last things you would like to say?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Love you, Mom. Dad, you suck. And go Giants.
What an ending. You can't get a much better ending than that. All love, though. Remember, stay blessed and you're loved. Have a great weekend and stay safe, y'all. Again, next week, next Friday, same time, 9:15, 9:55, Hash Marks on Hardwood. Here's Avinci to take us away into the weekend.